Welcome back. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We are learning Masechet Pesachim, and we are at the beginning of Perek Shvi, Mishnah Aleph. The next couple of Mishnayos are going to discuss the way that the Karban Pesach is supposed to be prepared. And the Torah tells us in Sefer Shemos that it is supposed to be a roasted tzli esh, should not be cooked. And so what we're going to discuss is concerns about making sure that the Karban Pesach is prepared in such a way that it's being roasted and that there is no other liquids involved in the process, and that the tzli is a tzli esh, it's a heat of a fire as opposed to some other object. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Tzolin Es HaPesach, how is the Karban Pesach roasted? What is the proper way to do it? What disqualifies it from being considered tzli esh? So the Mishnah says, "Mavin shfud shel rimon." They would bring a spit of pomegranate wood, and the reason why pomegranate wood was chosen as opposed to any other type of wood, the Bartanur explains, is because other wood, upon heating it, would give off moisture, a liquid, and that moisture being added to the process would make it considered bishel, cooking as opposed to roasting. So in order not to have any liquid being introduced into the process, they used a special type of wood, pomegranate wood, which did not give off any moisture or liquid. So they brought a shvud shel rimon, toichvoi, and they would take the shvud, the spit of the pomegranate wood, and insert it mitoch piv in the mouth, ad beis nekuvasai, through the other end, benosin es kurov ves b'nei meov lesocho. And they would take the legs of the animal and the intestines or the entrails and leave that inside the animal during the roasting process. The Kahati brings down an interesting point here from the Meiri that even though the Karban Pesach requires that you not break any bones, you know, there's a law against Shviras Etzem, you're not supposed to break a bone when eating the Karban Pesach. So the removal of the legs and inserting it inside the animal would appear to be going against that. So Miri explains that in the process of removing the legs, you just disconnected it from its tendons and separated the limb, but did not break any bone. And therefore, that's not considered a problem with regard to Shviras Etzem. Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Akiva disagrees on what you do with the krov and the b'nei meov, leaving it inside the animal as opposed to taking it out of the animal and putting it on the shvud shel rimon. Rabbi Akiva says, "Kimin bishul huzeh." If you leave the krov and the b'nei meov inside the animal, then it is more of a cooking process than a roasting process, because the way the krov and the b'nei ma'ayim would be heated is by being inside the animal, similar to like being inside a pot. That's not being cooked from the direct heat of the fire. So therefore, he held that you actually took the legs and the entrails and put it on the spit above the head, and it was roasted directly from the fire, and therefore there was no problem of bishul. Rav Tanur tells us that la halacha we paskin like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Beis continues, ain't solin es haPesach lo al haShvud. You did not roast the Karban Pesach on a shvud. Now what we're referring to here is previous Mishnah we said that you use a shvud, a spit of a pomegranate wood. The Gemara explains, but not a shvud of metal, of any type of metal. Reason being, because the metal itself, by its very nature, heats up from the fire, and that heat gets spread throughout the metal spit. So therefore, the point of touching the animal to the metal spit, that point that's touching the metal spit, would be heated effectively by the heat, or be roasted effectively partially by the heat of the metal spit as opposed to the direct heat of the fire. And so that's why a metal spit is invalidated to be used for the tzli roasting process. So the Mishnah here is telling you that you do not roast a Karban Pesach on a metal spit. Lo ala shvud here refers to a metal spit. And similarly, velo ala askala, and not on a grill, which is also of metal, but a grill is more of a flat surface. You do not roast the animal, the meat of the flesh of the Karban Pesach, by putting it over a grill, because it has to be from the direct heat of the fire. Omar Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik says, Maisa b'Rabbi Gamliel, there's a story, an incident with Rabbi Gamliel, Sh'amar, that he told the Tavi Avdai, to Tavi his servant, say, go out, utzle lanu es ha-Pesach, and roast for us the Karban Pesach al ha-Askala, on an Askala, on a grill. So, at first, it would seem that the incident of Rabbi Gamliel instructing his servant Tavi to roast the Pesach on the Askala seems to be contrary to the Tanakhama, and it would seem that there's a machlokas. The Yerushalmi, in fact, learns that there is a machlokas here, and that Rav Tzadik's story from Rabbi Gamliel shows that Rabbi Gamliel argues on the Tanakhama. However, our Gemara learns that there are some words that have been omitted from the Mishnah in order for to make the Mishnah understandable, and thereby not creating a machlokas. And that is, after the words of lo al ha'askala, that you cannot roast the Karban Pesach on a grill, the Mishnah should say the following, that if the grill is menukeves, meaning it has holes, and so therefore the fire rises up from the directly from the grill directly to the flesh. So then it is not being heated from the metal. It's coming directly from the fire, and in that case, it would be okay. So the story of Reb Tzadik is bringing support to the part of the Mishnah that we just inserted that is missing. That this is bringing support to the fact that a metal plate or grill that has holes in it, so therefore the fire rises up through the askala and goes directly to the basar of the Karban Pesach, that is okay. What is not okay, the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says below askala, is referring to a full, flat, complete grill. So the Mais Rav Gamliel is supporting the fact that a menukeves, a askala menukeves, is okay. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Noga b'charsei shel tanur, if the basar of the Karban Pesach happened to touch the cheres, the earthenware part of the oven, so then that piece that touched is obviously not being roasted to a degree directly from fire only, but by touching the heat of the oven. So yiklof es mekomo, you should peel off that piece, because it's not roasted and therefore you cannot eat it. Notaf merot for alacheres, what if some of the juices dripped onto the cheres v'chazer olav, and then came back onto the basar ha-pesach? So the juices, we're concerned, might actually penetrate deeper into the basar of the Karban Pesach. So then it's not enough to just peel off the top, yitol es mekomo. You have to remove that whole section where the rotev, the sauce, or the juices, went back and penetrated into the basar of Pesach. Finally, the Mishnah says, notav merotvo ala soles, if some of the juice that dripped out, rather than go back into the animal, went onto the solus, the flour, so then he must remove yikmotes mekomo. He must remove from the solus a kometz, a handful from that place, and that would need to be burned, just like other kachim that are posel. The Bartanura says he would have to take a kometz and burn it. With that, we end Mishnah Beis. I look forward to continuing next time with Mishnah Gimel.